Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and a happy Friday. Hope you're doing okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on September 12th. Coming up today, Medway's School Streets program is set for expansion. We're just 1 month away from new post-Brexit border checks, and Gillingham's Gareth Ainsworth is named League Two Manager of the Month. But first, taking a look at our top story, and this has been one of the most read stories on the website today. An increase in parking charges at one of Kent's most popular shopping destinations has been slammed by motorists as insulting. Ashford Designer Outlet, owned by MacArthur Glen, has increased its minimum parking fee to £3 for 4 hours. Lucy's got some more details on this story. She's with me now. Luce, can you walk us through the pricing changes?
Yes, well, this is the third year in a row there's been a hike in parking fees at the Designer Outlet. As you say, it now costs £3 for 4 hours. That's up from £2.50 last year and £2 the year before. Visitors now face paying £6 if they stay all day. A portion of that revenue goes directly to MacArthur Glen. Just to compare, parking is still free at Bluewater and Westwood Cross in Thanet, and Ashford Council charges £1.30 for 1 hour and £2.60 for 2 hours at car parks in Dover Place and Vicarage Lane.
You can certainly see why some shoppers are so upset.
Yes, some people say the rising fees risk putting them off visiting altogether. One shopper told us the centre is a huge money spinner, and the fact it's charging town centre parking prices for an out-of-town facility is quite insulting. However, there are some who are choosing to see the brighter side. One resident said it may draw people back to the high street, particularly for shorter shops.
And have MacArthur Glen made any comment?
Yes, they've released a statement saying they've made a small adjustment to parking charges to help them maintain the high standards guests expect, from security and cleaning to events such as the upcoming Christmas market. They go on to say their rates remain competitive compared to other shopping destinations that charge for parking.
Thanks, Lucy. We'd like to know what you think of the increases. Head over to the main page at Kent Online, click on the story and take part in our poll. Will paying more for parking put you off going to Ashford Designer Outlet?
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A man's been jailed for carrying out a luxury watch heist at Bluewater Shopping Centre. David Buisson cut a hole in the roof of the building to access the Watchfinder store earlier this year. More than 150 products were taken, worth around £1.4 million. This is the moment he was questioned by police.
So a burglary happened last Friday, the 7th of February, at around about 8:30 in the evening in the Bluewater Shopping Centre in Kent. What can you tell me about that burglary?
No comment.
Okay. Did you commit that burglary?
No comment.
Do you have any knowledge at all about that burglary?
No comment.
He eventually pleaded guilty in court. The 56-year-old, who lives on Malkin Drive in Harlow in Essex, has been locked up for 6 years and 1 month. A man who drove his car into another man at a resident park in Medway has been placed under a 6-month curfew. A court heard Anthony Fowles deliberately targeted the victim in Peninsula Crescent in Hoo after wrongfully believing he was trying to harass him. The 70-year-old, who lives on the same road, admitted an assault charge and was allowed to keep his licence. Police have released footage of the moment a Canterbury shoplifter was stopped when an officer managed to grab his trousers. Jack Goddard had tried to escape over a garden fence after stealing from a store on Sturry Road. The 29-year-old from Artillery Road has been locked up for 9 months. We're just 1 month away from new border checks at Dover and Folkestone, but we're being told the impacts on traffic will be minimal. The entry-exit system is a post-Brexit scheme being introduced for non-EU travellers. A gradual phase-in will start on October 12th, sparking fears of long queues and the ongoing use of Operation Brock. I've been speaking to Toby Howe from the Kent Resilience Forum, who told me they're not expecting any major disruptions.
Day one, certainly not. It's a nice quiet time, really. October half term will be the first time that there'll be any sort of increase in traffic going through. So it might not even be implemented from the UK as yet. Christmas, it'll be a little bit busier. What we're hoping is that we will be able to fully implement it as a trial through that period, so that we can really make sure, knowing that it doesn't have to be done, that we can test it when it's a bit busier over the Christmas holiday, for example, so that all the systems, all the traffic management, etc., and awareness is ready for when it really is that big hit in Easter next year.
I think that quite puts to bed the fears. I think I read a story. People were saying we were going to have 2 to 3 years of Brock just consistently on the M20. It was just going to be there permanently for 2 to 3 years. I think we're not going to see anything like that.
Be pretty similar to what we've got now. So we will have those busy holiday periods, so Easter, May bank holiday, summer, etc. And Brock will still be used to manage that freight flow to the ports at those busy times. That will not change. It may be that we see it a bit busier, but generally, if we look at the summer just gone, we had Brock in place from the 16th of July till about the 18th of August. That'll probably still be the same, but it might be used more if there are further delays for tourist traffic at the portals.
And what would be your advice to drivers? Would it be advisable to sort of familiarise themselves with what's going to be needed before they get to the barrier to avoid any sort of backlog?
Yes, totally. There will be a big comms release coming out soon from government, from Home Office and DfT. The Kent and Medway Resilience Forum partners, such as KCC, will be also then releasing more information. When you're then booking through the Port of Dover or Eurotunnel, for example, you'll also get a lot of information telling you what to do. Port of Dover is going to be the biggest change. So currently, if you're going to get on a ferry, you go to the Eastern Docks, you come to the customs point, you go through, check in, and get on your ferry. Port of Dover are creating a new area at Western Docks where everybody will need to go to do this process and to register. So a lot of people, me included, if you know where you're going and you've done it regularly, you probably ignore all the signs and the paperwork and you'll carry on. So the concern is a lot of people will still then head straight to Eastern Docks. Because that's what they've always done. So there will be new signing on the road network, really making sure that it's clear which direction people to go, and that'll mirror what the ferry companies and Port of Dover are going to be sending out. I mean, the key message is make sure when this does come in that people are prepared. Do read all the advice, do get that understanding of what the difference is. You know, make sure that your passport is up to date, for example. What's kind of silly as well is a lot of people don't actually appreciate the difference between Europe and the EU. So a lot of people think we're still in Europe, therefore I follow the EU signs. So Port of Dover, for example, do get that quite a bit. So it's just making sure that you do read all the comms that are coming out. As with yourself, there'll be a lot of press information. Take notice because it will affect all of us that have got a UK passport. That things will be different from April next year.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for more community facilities and public transport links to be set up for people living on a new build estate in Ashford. Construction of Conningbrook Lakes in Kennington started in 2018 and was finished earlier this year. The plans had included an activity centre and pub, but neither have been built. The council say they've secured funding to make improvements and add facilities over time. The owners of a derelict school in Medway that's been targeted in suspected arson attacks have been ordered to knock it down. Fire crews have repeatedly been called to the old St John Fisher building on Ordnance Street in Chatham. Medway Council, the police and fire service have joined forces to call on the company that bought the land for development to bulldoze the building before there's a serious accident. Police are looking into reports of assaults and disorderly behaviour following an anti-immigration protest in Faversham. Crowds gathered on Saturday for a protest against the use of a former care home to house asylum-seeking children. A counter-demonstration was also held. No arrests were made on the day, but officers have since received reports of offences that are now being investigated. Now, the School Streets Initiative in Medway is being expanded. The program turns some streets into pedestrian and cycle-only zones during drop-off and pick-up times in school term. It was rolled out at 7 sites last year, and from the end of this month, it will apply to 8 more. Hilltop Primary in Rochester is on the list. Shirley Campbell lives nearby. She's been speaking to Ollie Leader from our colleagues at KMTV.
Very great. I can't wait for it to come around here.
And why is that? Have you had problems with traffic?
Loads of traffic around here during the daytime, and yeah, in the evening time as well, for swimming, for school. The dropping off is really bad here, so I can't wait. I can't wait.
Because have there been any time when you try to come back, you're trying to park?
Oh yes, yeah, sometime I'm trying to come back. When I take my son to school, people be parking in front of my drive. There'll be problem out here with other schools, mom and dad with the parking. So the parking is really bad around here. So we can't wait for this thing to roll in any time now.
And obviously, there is a school with some young children. Do you think it will help make children
safe? Oh, yes, it will be very safe for the young children. And some of the mothers and the fathers will be able to park their car and walk around here. And it would be good for all the residents around here as well.
You can see a full list of school streets at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Another Kent MP has been promoted to a government role. Nashaba Khan, who represents Gillingham and Raynham, is now a parliamentary private secretary in the Cabinet Office. Dover and Deal MP Mike Tapp has also been made the Under Secretary of State for Migration and Citizenship of the UK. The woman in charge of KCC is going to submit a proposal to government to create a single unitary authority covering the whole of the county and Medway. All councils have been asked to come up with a plan as part of local government reorganisation. Reform UK's Lyndon Ken-Caron says one council would deliver the best outcomes for residents and save taxpayers money. Other authorities have suggested alternative options, splitting the county into three or four separate areas. A new personal safety app has launched in Maidstone as part of ongoing efforts to prevent violence against women and girls. WalkSafe helps users locate safe spaces and report concerns quickly and easily. It's free to download from today.
Kent Online News.
There's a weather warning for strong winds in Kent. Forecasters say gusts of up to 80 miles per hour could hit most of the county on Sunday night. The yellow alert's in force until 6 on Monday evening. The company that runs the port at Sheerness has announced plans for a £100 million investment. The cash will be split between the site on Sheppey and another one they own in Liverpool. It'll be used to increase warehousing to help grow their steel and metal storage capacity. A man from Folkestone is asking for help in tracing a teacher who taught him 70 years ago after spotting him at Tesco. Brian Ed briefly bumped into Mr. Booth in the car park this summer, but the pair didn't exchange details. Now the 82-year-old is hoping to track the 99-year-old down. He's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
I was sitting in Tesco's car park.
In a car.
For the wife. And I was doing my word book. And all of a sudden this guy came past with a young lady, and I thought, I know your face. And as he went past, I thought, yeah, that's Mr. Booth. So I got out my car, went round the back of my car, just as the lady was putting the gentleman back in his car. And I said, excuse me, is that Mr. Booth? And she said, yes. She said, he is now 99, and I shook his hand. I said, Mr. Booth. He said, your name rings a bell. And I didn't think no more about it. So he got in his car and went off.
Anything else that was said between you two?
No, because they wanted to get off so quick.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got back in the car, got home, and I thought, that guy, 99, when's he going to, how long before he's 100?
Your point of coming to us was to appeal to try to help find him.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's correct. And with a bit of luck, something might come out of this interview.
What subject did he teach?
He taught music. And RE.
Yeah.
And what was he like? What did you think of him at the time?
He was brilliant. He was young and you couldn't pull no wool over his eyes. Yeah, he was very strict. Being a boys' school, all the teachers were strict.
Kent Online would love to see Brian reunited with his old teacher. If you know Mr. Booth or can help connect the pair, please contact reporter Sam Lennon on 01304 365 526 or slennon@thekmgroup.co.uk. We should find out next week if new paddle tennis courts are going to be built in Maidstone. Plans for land at Coronation Square behind Lockmeadow are being considered. The sport is a mix of tennis and squash and has become really popular and recent. recent analysis found the town needs 12 courts to meet current demand. The Whitstable Rocks Oyster Festival gets underway later and thousands of visitors are expected in the town over the weekend. It'll start with fireworks tonight, then the symbolic landing of the oysters ceremony takes place tomorrow. The event is one of Kent's longest running traditions, dating back more than 350 years. The Princess of Wales has worn a necklace bearing the initials of her three children during a visit to Kent. Her necklace had letters G, C and L in honour of George, Charlotte and Louis. Kate had a go at silk screen printing at Marina Mill in Cuxton as part of a series of engagements celebrating the British textiles industry. These people turned out to see her yesterday and say they were surprised at the royal visit.
It's a little place. I was surprised that anybody would really know about it.
So. Yeah, me. I've got a day off today, so I thought I'd come down and see what's...
It's really nice that someone like Princess Kate is coming to Cuxton. She's lovely. I really love what they do for, you know, all the local charities and the communities and things. That's lovely.
She's lovely. Yeah.
Especially like our grandparents that unfortunately passed away. They absolutely love the royal family, so I feel like we're here for them.
Tandine Rawkins is the creative director at Marina Mill.
We had a phone call from Kensington Palace. It was back in June when they were first going to come. And when Colin called me and said, it's Kensington Palace on the phone, I thought it was a hoax. I was like, shut up. But yeah, it was. And she seemed to be really interested. She was hanging around, wasn't she? She wasn't rushing through. So she was obviously interested in each stage.
Horses, carriages and other props have been seen in Deal as filming gets underway for what's believed to be a new adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. Actors in period costumes have also been seen on the beach and the former Three Compasses pub has been transformed. The Netflix production stars Emma Corrin, Jack Loudon and Olivia Colman. And Kent Online has been crowned Regional Website of the Year at the Future Media Awards. The ceremony took place at Hilton London Bankside yesterday. Several of our reporters bagged awards in categories including Best Story, Best Investigation and Journalist of the Year.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham boss Gareth Ainsworth has won the League Two Manager of the Month award for August. The Gills are currently top of the table and have gone unbeaten after seven games this season. They're hosting Notts County at Priestfield this weekend following a 2-2 draw at Bromley last Saturday. Ainsworth says it won't be an easy match.
We've got to respect every team's strengths and hopefully exploit their weaknesses, you know, but they're a good side. Obviously lost McGoldrick, who was a big player from last year, but they seem to have replaced well with Dennis, you know, up front. And Jatter, obviously, is going to be a good player in this division. So we've got to look at them and respect them and know what they bring. And yeah, there's sort of a philosophy runs through the club and it has done for a few years now, which is nice to see, you know, because they recruit, obviously, players and managers to suit that philosophy. We've got to be on it. Yeah, we've got to be on it again. Different styles, different tests. Yeah, Notts County have actually played Bromley, you know, and we've been watching that game. But really looking forward to it. And back at home, you know, it feels like a while since we've been here, which is crazy because it's only been a couple of weeks. But it's nice to be back at home. I think the schools are all back. People are back from their holidays. So I've been told there's a very decent crowd coming down as well. So that's going to be really nice to hopefully entertain the crowd and show them what, you know, the noise is all about at the moment, because the boys definitely deserve credit for the way they've been playing and giving everything on the pitch.
Midfielder Johnny Williams has also spoken ahead of tomorrow's game.
One thing I've noticed, you know, playing against Notts County since I've come to Gill, it's always been a tough game. They're very possession-based, they move the ball well, they've also got some really good footballers, so we have to respect them. But, you know, whenever any team comes to our place, we want to play with the high intensity and get our fans on our side right away. So we'll relish the challenge and play our own game. We always adapt. The manager is very adaptable with personnel now and shape, so it's hard to predict us as well. But, you know, they've got some really good players. I know they've lost McGoldrick, who for me was, you know, the best player in the league, I thought. So, yeah, they've still got some very good players, especially in the front line and all over the pitch. So, yeah, it's going to be a really tough test, but one I think we'll look forward to.
And briefly in cricket, Kent's county championship game against Lancashire has ended in a draw. The visitors need The visitors needed 303 to win on the final day at Canterbury. They were 138 for three when rain interrupted play. That's all for us today and for the week. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on the socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.